That's actually not, that's not going to work.
Okay, that's fine. I just won't eat. Don't stop for me. I'm good. Don't stop for me. Argentina. Whatever that means. Fried fish, but not fried fish.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show following tonight's painful defeat against the Bucks. I'm James, and I'm your host, and joining me today is Wesley, Jason, and Ben. How are you?
Don't ask.
As good as we can be. Tough day.
Yeah, I think Wesley, I feel exactly like you do. So, that's not exactly how we thought it was going to go, was it? Offensively, we were terrible. Jameis looked uncomfortable the whole game. And again, the offensive line just didn't protect Winston at all. The first half, the defense was superb. But following Mike Evans starting a mass brawl and him and Marshon Lattimore getting ejected, something changed. And then on the Bucks' first touchdown drive, they got some really, really questionable flags, especially the call on Roby that extended that drive on the third down play where it was roughing, whatever you want to call it. I can't remember exactly what the call was, but leading with the crown of the helmet or something like that, wasn't it? Terrible, terrible call. But is it time to start worrying about the pass rush, though? Well, let's go and start with the offense. Who wants to go first?
It was disappointing. So, obviously, when coming in the game, knowing Kamara was going to be out, was going to be a big miss and relying on Ingram on the run game. And I thought, you know, first drive, we looked good. I thought, here we go. You know, I didn't mind walking away with 3 points after that. I thought that we could have got a touchdown, but I generally felt good. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. The lack of Taysom Hill kind of confused me a little bit as well. I thought you might have seen a bit more of him to get a spark going. But no, just unfortunately one of those games. And, you know, James's injury, we don't know how bad it is, but you can tell he definitely didn't look comfortable in the game.
Yeah, well, that was Jeff's one point. I know Jeff doesn't hop on the Instant Reaction Show, but his one point was probably that James shouldn't have played. I mean, look, you can say maybe, look, he didn't have a good game, but also, like, I just felt the play call wasn't great. It's like you said, without having Kamara, and look, we actually ran for 5 yards a carry. We ran the ball well, but to not throw a little more Taysom in there just because we didn't have Kamara was a little dicey. But I mean, man, like that Ingram fumble was just, you know, it was a lot of things where, like, we played, the offense didn't play great. The defense played well for a long time. You know, we got kind of stuck. That Ingram fumble was a brutal stretch in the game, because if he doesn't fumble, we're driving. At worst, it's 6-0 or 6-3. And then, man, if it's 10-3, then it's a totally different ball game. We fumble, we get it back, and then we hold them for a while. But then, yeah, that stupid personal foul penalty, which was – it was nothing. Like, it was nothing. There was no helmet to helmet. There was no nothing. The guy threw the flag from 20 yards away, and at that point, it was like we had fought so hard, and then it was just, oh, well, they're just going to give him that. And then just – the game just kind of changed. Like, those two plays, the game just kind of changed, and it just, God, it sucks.
Yeah, I'd say the first thing I can declare for sure on the offense, I was really encouraged by the blocking by the offensive line. Something that I thought was going to be a huge problem in this game in the run and pass. Our offensive line did a fantastic job. I was really happy about that. I'm going to say, like, this was an ugly, ugly game to watch, but I'm going to say, I don't know if we know how bad our offense is right now or how good this Tampa Bay defense is. Tampa Bay, Dallas, they played the Cowboys last week. Last year, the Cowboys were the number one offense in the NFL. This year, they're the only team in week one that didn't score a touchdown in the entire NFL. there's a chance that Tampa Bay's really damn good at defense. And there's also, I think I would also declare that our defense is right there with them. And I think our defense, as bad as our offense was playing, as bad as it looked, and it was a 3-3 game, I think our defense was the better defense on the field for three quarters. But we were definitely right there with them. And we're missing the cornerback that was the star of training camp, Adebo, still hasn't played a snap this year. So, I mean, I'm going to wait to necessarily say, it's hard for me to say that Jameis Winston didn't look right. I agree that he's probably in pain, but he had multiple passes that traveled 60 yards in the air and were
but they also weren't on target.
But they're within a yard and a half of on target. And I'm not going to right now blame Jameis Winston for the Chris Olave rookie, maybe taking a different route or having a different speed. I mean, I'm not going to just like shit on Jameis for that when, you know, some 50 to 60 yard passes are within a yard and a half and 2 yards of being caught. And I think that I believe that us as Saints fans in general, we've been Saints fans our whole lives, are spoiled that there was a 7 or 8 year run there that Drew Brees put those on a dime 45 yards downfield. That's not normal. And I don't think that Jameis is throwing those deep passes any worse than most every other quarterback in the NFL. So I'm not sure yet. I was encouraged by the offensive line. We were missing our best offensive player, regardless of anything with Michael Thomas and all. I mean, Alvin Kamara is our best offensive player. Every single one of us to a man has been nervous for months that Kamara would miss games this year due to a suspension. And we have no depth behind him or anybody that can even look remotely decent. And where he's not suspended for a court case, but he's missing time. And I mean, I think that just came to fruition today. I think it's great that we can sit there and say that a running back looked good on 6 or 7 plays, but this is a whole game. And that running back that looked good on 6 or 7 plays, I can point to a lot of things that may have cost us the game, because the whole game went a whole different direction right then and there.
It was after that play, we had 3 turnovers in 5 plays, didn't we? And yeah. that was the first one of the 5. Do you think that they had something in the game plan or saw something on film from previous games that meant they targeted Olave as much as they did, because he had 14 targets today?
Yeah, a lot of targets. It was kind of wild, because after the game that Jarvis had last week, he only had 3 targets and he caught us 3 targets.
And today, to be fair, I think it showed on the game that the guy covering him cannot run with him. I mean, to be fair, I get it that we completed 8 of 13 passes to him or whatever, so that sounds bad. But, and I mean, and again, we might be having a whole different discussion if Olave holds on to one ball as he hits the ground. It's hard to be upset about that, because he was open on most of those. I mean,
yeah.
Now, I believe that the interception that was in the end zone, Jameis underthrew that by 2 yards. Two yards on a 49 yard pass. I mean, how mad am I at that? And also, I know he's nervous. He didn't want to throw it out the back of the end zone. He was trying to throw it too close to the back half of the end zone, but not throw it out and give his man a shot. So, I mean, listen, I'm not just sitting here going like nothing to worry about. Jameis is great. He's going to lead us back and we're not going to lose another game. But the things that went wrong in this game were hard to blame him for, except for the overthrown pass to Juwan Johnson was ugly.
Well, but
the
pick six was a terrible throw.
Oh, for sure.
Terrible. Terrible. And I'm a Jameis guy. Like, I don't
he's scrambling just any. I mean, I think the game is basically right, but, over there.
No,
so.
But it wasn't. Like, and look, I understand. Like, I'm not a Jameis hater. There's a lot of people here in Louisiana that do not like Jameis, and this is gonna give them a lot of ammo to continue to preach that, you know, they don't like Jameis. And look, we've been spoiled with Drew for a long time, but it does come into question how injured is he? As much as I don't necessarily want to say, yeah, we definitely should move to Dalton, but if Jameis isn't healthy, you actually have to. I mean,
That's why you got a good quality backup.
I believe what we were told is that Jameis is going to be in pain. He's going to have to see if he can play with pain, but he's going to get better each week. And there's no way that the injury that is done can get worse. Like, I mean,
But I mean, now look, I will say some of the injury related items came to play in the game, because there were a few plays today where if he just runs 4 yards first down, he could convert, and he wanted nothing to do with running the ball. Which if you're hurt, I get it, but. Yep.
This is also the team that tore his ACL in half last year.
And yes,
one of those plays was leading to exactly what it was, but it was going to be David instead of him.
Right, and I get it, but man, it's like if he just runs easy first
down.
There's three
plays that were first downs that we did end up punting on because we didn't get it on the third down.
And it's just tough because the defense played so well, man. The defense played plenty good enough to win this game, and we just had to. We just had to score a few times, and we couldn't. And it was.
It's a bit like the playoff game. We just turned the ball over too much in the wrong areas.
Five fucking turnovers. You're not going to win with five turnovers. You're not. Like the game was there until the Ingram fumble, and then the stupid bullshit. You know, like personal you said, foul. Like it was the game was there. We still could have won, and then it just landslide on us.
The Ingram fumble, we were on what? We were on the 5 yard line, weren't we? So, you know, there's a fairly good chance
we were the 10.
Okay, so we're in the red zone. So there's a chance
at minimum
we
kick a field goal. But we were like that whole drive, we were moving the ball. Like we ran the ball. Like I said, we ran the ball at 5 yards pop. Like we were running
the ball. If we get a touchdown there, you know, I don't think the way they were in a hole.
That puts lots of pressure on the Bucs.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're not handing the ball off another time in the game if we score a touchdown there.
No.
You can say that on every play, that every play resets what you do the rest of the way. That play right there changed the entire game.
Yeah.
It was a game changer.
And unfortunately, that is what Mark Ingram has that in his locker, unfortunately. And I know Wesley, you're not a Mark Ingram fan.
Never have been.
But I have been a Mark Ingram fan, and I remember he had this a couple of years ago. I think it might have been on Kamara's rookie year, or maybe a year. But I think it was a year before when we backfield of him in Hightower, wasn't it? And then he turned into an absolute beast after fumbling 2 weekends in a row. And I hope he can bounce back. But I'm beginning to, like someone said, this is like peak rookie Mark Ingram sort of style.
The Saints fans that love him and think that he's great, he is not a number one today in 2022. And again, we put ourselves in a situation in the offseason where we knew that there were and I'm guessing that the Saints probably thought that we've outsmarted everybody. Kamara's suspension is going to be next year. We're good. Everybody chill. But people get hurt. And Alvin has missed games every year because of tweaks and little injuries and stuff like that. So we can't just. There just wasn't a backup plan for our best player. And because it wasn't like there was a backup that was like, okay, this will be serviceable. Our backups are way below starting quality for an NFL team that depends on the running back like Alvin Kamara. So it's just, and I'm not sure what the answer was. I know we brought in different guys and worked them out, but I don't believe that.
we were all hoping it was going to be Abram Smith, the next undrafted rookie superstar. And it wasn't. So,
well, we may see Latavius Murray next week.
Murray present.
We may.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to know somebody who doesn't fumble the ball? Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray doesn't fumble the ball.
And that's one thing is people try to like put, well, he's got that upright running style. Yeah, he holds on to the ball too.
He holds on to the ball.
I mean, that's one thing that dude does is hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I suspect we will probably see him next week then. So anybody got anything else on the offense before I switch it over to the defense?
I don't know if you're going to give it its own category or if we want to tie it to the end of offense. I do have something to say about special teams.
I mean, I really thought with no Kamara, we would throw a little more Taysom. And yeah, like I think he had a player too early and it was a typical Taysom run, didn't necessarily get much, but we didn't show any ingenuity, like even toss him out there as a fucking decoy, like do something to kind of trick the defense, do something weird to try to throw the defense off. If the defense is as good as it look, and look, Tampa's defense is good. So do something to try to throw them off. And we just didn't do any of that.
Am I misremembering that Tampa is the one team that plays the Taysom Hill plays very well? I went into it thinking I believe in the past that that's one thing they've done well against us. Is the Taysom Hill power runs, And I did like that we threw in the little, the like fake swing pass and then run. I mean, I thought that was brilliant, and I wouldn't have mind seeing that again. And I still don't understand why, if we get into a desperate rhythm like that, maybe not doing the power run, but get him in there and let him throw the ball once.
Yes.
Like, maybe. I mean, and believe me, this is coming from me, who I don't want to see Taysom Hill throwing the ball at all. Like, I mean, I'm just not interested in it. But there has to be something. And I'm probably saying all this, and as I'm saying it, we have a defensive coach, and I guarantee you he thought correctly, our defense is kicking the shit out of the Bucks, so I'm not risking anything on offense. I have no reason to.
We will still find a way to get 5 turnovers.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing until that last 10 minutes, that was his thing. Is, well, you know, I'm good with this, because a 3-3 game or a 1-score game, like, I'm good with it.
So you mentioned
special teams, James. Sorry, just quick one. On, do you think we should have gone for the 57-yard field goal instead of the punting at the end? What were you thinking during the game?
At the end of what?
The end of the first half. I would have tried to kick it just because it's Will Lutz. Like, I'd rather score the points when you can. And I get it. You're giving up. Okay, yeah, they'll get the ball at midfield, but our defense played well enough. Yeah, we might give up a field goal, but at this point, considering how bad our offense was, like, I'd like a chance at points.
It says to me that maybe Dennis Allen doesn't necessarily trust him at 57 yards indoors.
But I think I don't know if I'm. I think either one is a good decision. There, I think I understand either one with that much time, and because it's Tom Brady, and like that's the one thing you're gonna. Your defense is doing great, and now you're fixing to put them in a 45 second drive in 2 minutes with midfield. You're kind of stacking the cards against them. I understand either one. I suppose I think that's one where Sean probably kicks the field goal. And Dennis Allen, a defensive coach, is like, no, I'm pinning them back, and they're going to down the ball and do nothing.
Yeah. So, Wesley, you mentioned special teams. Let's talk about that before we move on to the defense. What was your thought on the special teams?
Yeah, Blake Gillikin was terrible today.
Yeah, awful.
He kicked 5 times, and one was okay, and the rest was terrible.
You were bad.
I said at the start of this year that I thought that our offense was going to have times that they sputtered, but I thought that because of what we could do on special teams with huge kicks and we could pin people back inside the, you know, 15 and 10 yard line, that that's going to help our defense. And he was going to be a huge weapon for us. He did not do that today. And I think that it looked like our game plan was, you know, on third down, sometimes we're not going to risk it because, you know what, we got a guy that's going to flip the field and our defense is going to kick their ass. And he didn't flip the field, not to the portion he should have. And I'll also say our offense is hamstrung starting inside our own 15 over and over again. There's limited plays when you don't have a running back that in the first play that you have to do inside your own 10 or 12 is you got to run the ball and get to past the 15. And then you kind of feel a little better about, okay, I can take a 7-step drop and I'm not in the end zone. We had no chance of doing that. Gillen could not, you know, flip the field. Their punter kept doing it. And when we saw it, that we could not drive the ball, we couldn't get anything started. And again, you're running the ball on first down with Ingram for 1.5 yards, and then you're obviously passing the ball the next 2 downs.
And you had the play where we had 12 guys on the field on the punt.
Like, we forced them to say that one.
You know, we forced them. And like, look, as Hardy, like, you got to sit there. You got to count everybody. Like, did he not sit there and count? Oh, clearly shit, we got 12. Call a timeout. Like, that's like, it's his job.
Rumor
it's
a returner's
job, because he can actually see everybody. It's his job to count everybody and see if we have 12 or we have 11.
Rumor has it that Hardy's not a very good counter, and that's the reason he wears number 11. Fuck. Is to be sure he can keep up with the. I can't confirm or deny that, but I got sources telling me that he's not great with the counting.
I mean, this really did seem to be a poorly coached game for us. It, despite the fact that the defense played well.
It wasn't poorly coached on the defense.
Well, no, but the offense and the special teams left a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, and like, look, the whole point was, hey, Carmichael, can he do his own thing? If Jameis is more injured than we think, then that's a whole nother issue. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, we were the more talented team. Like, we were the better team. We held Tom Brady at 190 yards. We held Tom Brady to 190 yards passing. And we held Fournette to Not a lot, right?
The last thing on special teams is they punted six times. Deontay Hardy had one punt return for negative 6 yards. Not what he's supposed to be doing either.
He's after a massive contract.
Both of those guys are supposed to be weapons that we are truly counting on. We cut a lot of talented players so we could have some people that only play special teams on this team. Like, we focused on special teams. And Gillikin and Hardy are supposed to be two big parts of what keeps us together and controls that middle of the field between the 20s. Both of them failed miserably today.
Yeah, they did.
Alonte Taylor on special teams, though, he is fast, man.
I said this earlier. I said, I hate doing this after like a game and a half because it sounds so stupid. But I've never seen anyone break free of their blocker and get down the field. Now, I'm not saying he's the best gunner I've ever seen, because he's getting down there and then not hitting somebody sometimes. So he's going to have to control that after I get past my guy, maybe slow down so I can, you know, direct who I'm hitting. But
the
guy that's supposed
to
be blocking him isn't even in the TV screen on most of the plays. I've never seen something like it. And you're going to mention Alonte Taylor. We're fixing to lead in the defense. I like what I saw from him. I love the pass. You saw the Perryman open, and he talked about that. He relaxes on if people are like, you know, doing great cuts and all, because I can catch up with anybody in this league. I mean, he flat out said, I can catch up with anybody in the world. And then Perryman had him by a step and a half, and he just immediately closed on him without even trying. He's got this real tall, long, super fast guy. Yep. Obviously, I don't want him starting next week yet, but I think there's something we have there in the future.
Definitely. Definitely. So onto the defense then. The run defense was back.
That's good. That's concerning coming into the game. I think everyone was worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, the run defense looked really good. I mean, you know, Leonard Fournette went for over 100 last week. He couldn't get anything going today, but we were actually, you know.
Well, and he had 24 attempts. Like, they didn't abandon the run. Leonard Fournette ran the ball 24 times for 65 yards, 2.7 yards a carry.
Yeah. And, you know, we were doing the one thing that we didn't do last week, and that was hitting them in the backfield. We were getting the first touch on them in the backfield, and that's such a big thing when you're against a team that clearly want to establish the run.
This week, when we hit the person in the backfield, we stopped them in the backfield.
Yeah.
Last week, we touched a lot of people in the backfield, and then they ran 7 yards upfield. So it was a different, and again, that's a big thing about not playing in the preseason. There's a difference between being physical and hitting somebody and actually tackling a person to the ground that's not your teammate.
Yeah.
Pete Werner.
Hang on.
Oh, Lord.
Just slow. Wait, we're going to go back to the linebackers. Don't panic.
You Brits are so happy.
I'm hosting. Hush your beak. Right. So defensive line. We're still talking about defensive line. Pass rush.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
What pass rush?
Right.
Exactly. That now is officially a concern, considering they were very, very beat up on the offensive line and we had, what, one sack?
Well, beyond it being a concern, Peyton Turner was a healthy scratch in this game. So this means we went into it. Like, so last week, Passignon, who was last year one of our better pressure guys, he was inactive, healthy scratch. This week, Peyton Turner is. The only reason Peyton Turner is a healthy scratch is if you think, like, oh, okay, we've got it. We're going to do some kind of rotation thing to keep people healthy, but we've got such talent that we can get after it. And then we've even got Davenport going against a third string guy that's never taken an NFL snap that should terrify Tampa Bay to be out there. And I mean, Davenport got a couple of little, you know, some pressures, and I don't know. He should have ran through the guy though. It was weird.
I mean, look, Brady does get rid of the ball quickly, so that is a thing, but right. Considering the state of their offensive line and not starting Turner, like
he's got a lot of time.
That is a fucking disaster. Like, I'm sorry, it's a disaster. It's a terrible either scouting determination, whatever's going on. It's a fucking disaster.
Can we just insert your rant from the draft night? That just insert it here.
Look, I fell off my chair when we drafted him, and yes, there's no reason a first round pick at this point, a first round pick defensive end, I'm sorry, he can never be a healthy scratch.
To be fair, you fell off your chair a second time when we drafted Werner, so
okay. Well, I was more drunk at that point. But I also like so, my body was still trying to recover from the Turner pick.
So you mentioned his name then. Ben mentioned his name earlier on. Pete Werner looks really, really good this year.
He was great. Special. Yeah.
Really, really good. He was everywhere today. He was making plays behind the line of scrimmage. He was chasing receivers down and covering receivers. He was chasing the running backs and things like that. Two really good performances in a row from Pete Werner.
DeMario Davis this week said that Pete Werner is the best will linebacker in football, and somebody go prove him wrong right now. I mean, beyond all the things that we've heard about him, one is we were told he's super smart. He's never going to be in the wrong place. We were told that, but we were told that he's not really that big and he's not really that fast. So there's places he's going to struggle, but he's going to make the play he's supposed to make. I'm not sure how not big or how not fast he is, but it's enough to play in the NFL because he grabbed Fournette twice, like from the side, and put Fournette backwards. And like they met one-on-one with Fournette with a head of steam, and he stopped him.
Yeah.
He did it a few times, and I don't know how much more he can get in the backfield and disrupt stuff without, you know, being quote-unquote fast, but I'm definitely a fan. And he's defending passes, too. I mean, yeah.
He was definitely phenomenal. In on one of the fourth down stops that we had two fourth down stops, isn't he? And he was definitely in on one of them on Fournette where he just stonewalled him.
Yep. Him and Marcus May have done a bunch of that, like in that goal line stuff. The two of them come up and fill some gaps.
Yeah.
And you can't tell that they're not the two best linebackers in football. And I mean, May's the safety, obviously, but you can't tell the two of them because they don't get moved at all by anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like that's the frustrating thing. Our defense played so well. We stopped them on, we forced one turnover. We had a couple stops on fourth down. Like our defense played
the 20 points and the 20 points and the frustration is going to loss. Our defense played insanely well today. And we 100% outplay, like, and I'll just go through all this real quick. Saints had 18 first downs, Buccaneers had 13. Both of us tucked on a third down, but Saints got 308 yards of offense. The Buccaneers had 260 yards of offense. We held Tom Brady to 188 yards passing, the 72 yards rushing. I mean, everything besides these turnovers, I mean, even on penalties, we drew them into a bunch of penalties and all. We both had 13 drives. Like, there's a lot of things that are even, except for us having turnovers.
It's the turnover battle. It killed us. It fucked us. In addition to, you know, again, the combo of the Ingram fumble, which was, you know, we were driving. We were gonna score. Whether it was 3 or 7, we're gonna score. And then the bullshit personal foul penalty, which was nothing. Like, it was so bullshit. And like, I gotta tell you, the dome was loud. The dome was fired up. Like, this was a good dome.
It sounded like it.
It was a good dome experience. So Landry and Matthew both combined. They did the Houdat chant, which is what we were kind of hoping. So they started the Houdat chant. The crowd was there, man, and it was easy to get in today. Like, I was worried about how the in getting in, but everything was set up well. Like, we got there so early. I do like now, like, the outside concourse right outside the dome is effectively like you're in the game. They take your ticket before that. So instead of taking your ticket at the window to get in the building, the outside concourse, you can walk all around the dome. They scan your ticket before that. So that's technically in the stadium. I like all that. So they've improved a lot of that. It was really a good experience, and the crowd was there and I was excited. We just couldn't. It sucks that we had in front of us.
So we need to talk about Marshawn Lattimore. Two reasons. One reason, I'm fed up with people on commentary calling him Marcus Lattimore. He's been in the league for 6 years now. Learn his name, right? The second one is that's now 2 weeks in a row he's reacted. Now, I know this week's was a little bit different. But it is 2 weeks in a row. He nearly, you know, he got the penalty that put them within field goal range at the end of the Falcons game by reacting to another player and pushing them. Now, this week was slightly different. Brady was giving it the shot.
That was a crazy play. Like, Brady ran like 30 yards to yell at the ref, which was crazy. And then all the other shit went down. Fournette hit him. He hit him back. It's like, look,
But the first person never gets penalized in that situation.
That's the way it goes. Okay, wait, like, Fournette was the first guy to hit him.
God. I think we're talking about the wrong thing. So has nothing to do with who was first and who was second, because the ejections were not called by the referees on the field. The ejections were called by New York. We've gotten confirmation of that. New York has responded afterwards. So the ejections of Lattimore and Evans were not called on the field at all. The ejections were 100% called by replay in New York. This is why this is a problem. So you've got Marshawn Lattimore and Tom Brady talking, not a penalty. Leonard Fournette comes over and physically hits Marshawn Lattimore, who then physically pushes him back. All still maybe penalty, but I don't, neither one of them. I mean, right. it's not that big of a deal.
Right. It's not worth an ejection.
And then Mike Evans, who is on the sidelines, he's officially
out of nowhere.
He's standing on the white, looking at his bench, and turns around and gets a running start and hits Lattimore from behind and knocks him to the ground. Then a melee starts. So there's two places that this fight started. One is when Fournette got physical and hit Lattimore, who was just talking to Tom Brady, wasn't in his face. They're going different directions. Part of football. So Lattimore gets hit by Fournette. And it's still just a little bit of pushing, but probably not a big deal because he pushed him back. And I guarantee you that Fournette was calm. As soon as Lattimore pushed him, Fournette's like, come on. It didn't look like it. And then Evans comes out and starts it again, but takes it to a whole nother level.
Right, like ran and knocked him over.
Evans 100% is ejected. There's not even a debate. If Lattimore is ejected, Fournette's ejected. Because they did the same exact thing, except for maybe you could kick Fournette out because he started it. So I have, and they asked the referee, why was nobody else ejected? And their exact words from the NFL is, we reviewed the play and didn't think anybody else deserved an ejection. I have no idea what was watched or how that happens. I mean, it's insane.
When in doubt, we are getting fucked. When in doubt, we're getting fucked. Same thing with the stupid personal foul penalty that was not a personal.
Just used to it now.
I was without Sean Payton. We get the benefit of the doubt.
It was
awful. It was fucking awful.
Normally, I'm used to on that Roby hit, the idiot special person from Fox telling us why it was a penalty and why it should be a penalty. This time, the guy's like, that's not a penalty. What else is the defender supposed to do?
Well, and again, it was so wild, too, because, like, seeing it, like, I saw the play happen. The referee who threw the flag, he was 20 yards away, and he's like, he threw it. Like, I saw the flag come way in, I'm like, dude, he was 20 yards away. Like, he couldn't see whatever it may have been. If it was close, okay, maybe if you're right there and it looks close, you could throw it. Guy was fucking 20 yards away. There was no reason to throw the flag whatsoever, unless you knew Tampa was about to lose.
So it was Greg Olsen on the commentary. He was the color commentator, right? And even he said about that, after Mike Pereira had come on as the referee and said, that's not a foul, his exact words were, I don't know what a defender is supposed to do differently in that situation. How can you coach somebody differently in that situation? They've done exactly what they're coached to do.
It's not a defensive receiver. He is turning upfield. And you are turning your shoulder, trying to dislodge
the ball. It wasn't helmet to helmet. It wasn't anything. That's the thing. When they showed replays, like, it wasn't helmet to helmet. Okay. It wasn't face mask. It wasn't anything.
How about Shy Tuttle getting called for a hold when Leonard Fournette ran up and hit him? I mean, and like Tuttle's arm, like Tuttle got hit in the chest, so his arm flew up and hit Lattimore's arm. But I mean, they show it over and over again when they call it on Cam Jordan because they're idiots. But they were watching the replay over and over again. Tuttle did. And then, I mean, again, Greg Olsen and him start saying, yeah, well, running backs are told to run into the guy and run through them because sometimes you'll draw those.
I quite like Greg Olsen on commentary. Yeah. I think he's quite good.
It's just like, look, I don't want to be a fucking conspiracy theorist guy, but.
Me either, and I'm not. It just
right. I'm not, but man, like, you see so many things where, like, that's just not a penalty. Just don't throw it. It's just not a penalty. It's not.
Unfortunately, officials have egos and like to be heard.
Well, and also, like, they make a wrong decision, they don't get penalized. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. You'll just get to do the next game,
especially and nobody when the cares referees,
because like fans don't care. They move on because if it's not your team, they don't care.
Especially when the referee's surname is Hockley, they like being the center of attention, don't they?
I used to like the old Hockley. I thought he was one of the better referees. He was also a big Lost fan.
Has anybody got anything else?
Are we doing final thoughts?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If there's nothing else to go into, then we'll go straight into final thoughts.
I'll just, like I said, what I said earlier, I think that our defense is phenomenal. I don't know. I mean, Tampa Bay has played two really good defensive games. I mean, there's some things that the biggest thing I came into this game worried about with our offense is could we block on the offensive line? And I feel really good about that. I'd much rather be fixing Jameis's timing thing and cutting somebody across and hitting 55-yard passes than fixing that Jameis is running for his life and Cesar Ruiz looks like a, you know, a swinging gate. So, I mean, I would rather fix this than what we were looking at, what I thought we would be having a struggle with coming in this game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was baffling the lack of Jarvis Landry today. You know, after last week, I would have thought he would have probably been a bit more of a focal point. But like I said, when we were talking about the offense, they clearly saw something with the secondary of the Bucs, and were trying to use Chris Olave's speed for that. But the one thing I think Chris Olave needs to work on is his coordination when he's running.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed.
He was falling forward and falling to the side. Like, yeah, he's.
Yeah, there was.
Like,
there was...
Even on his last fumble where he made the catch and he hit and he fumbled and they called it a fumble. Like, I guess I didn't know the rules. I figured that would be like incomplete, but whatever.
He's going to have to get a little bit stronger and with his core strength, maybe not bigger, but in the college, he's outrunning everybody and he's really fast and smooth because nobody's touching him. In the NFL, these guys, even if he's fast, they're going to be there jostling him and kind of knocking him sideways. He's going to have to get a little bit more solid where he can take that kind of just again, the little bit of pushing and pounding that is legal.
Just at least he's a first round draft pick that's on the fucking field.
I thought the Jarvis thing as well, like after last week, we kind of put it up and gave our guys chances to make plays. I thought that there was probably some Jarvis plays coming there before it got out of hand.
So, yeah, I mean, look, it's
got zero concerns on Michael Thomas now whatsoever.
Dude, he's.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. So, yes, we lost today, but we're still 1-1. Season's not over. There's plenty to go. We have a lot of games left. Michael Thomas looks great, but I'm a little worried because, you know, and part of the transition from Sean to this group, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to run Sean's program without Sean. How's that going to work? Maybe it's going to work. I hope it does. I like Dennis Allen. I think he's a good defensive coach. Can he handle the big boy chair? I mean, look, we saw a few plays today, the 12 men on the field, you know, the offensive play calling from Carmichael. Everybody's like, oh, Carmichael's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Well, you know what? I mean, you know, today just said the jury's out. So look, I'm not shitting on these guys, but it was a question that I had when that's the direction that the Saints went with. I'm saying, look, this is a big question. I hope it works out because this team is talented. There's a lot of talent on this team.
Yep.
We are a playoff team. Do we have the coaches in place to make the right decisions when it matters to make it work? And, you know, through 2 weeks, you know, it's still a question. It's not like, well, no, they suck, but
the fourth quarter of the first game saves a lot of that because being 1-1 and being able to have that conversation is a lot different than being 0-2.
Right. Like if we're sitting here at 0-2, everybody, like the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
For sure.
Yeah. Like we're done. And
we've played six bad quarters of football.
Yes.
Six and a half.
Yes. So that's a big, big thing. And next week we get Carolina. Carolina sucks. Carolina's 0-2. They have a shitty coach. They have a good running back. They're a shitty team. We need to win next week. If for some reason we lose next week, then yes, the sky is falling and we really have to question what the fuck's happening.
We've never lost a game in
Carolina.
London,
Carolina's so. Very bad.
Yeah, yes. Carolina are very bad. Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Very, very
terrible.
Bad.
I mean, they've lost to the Giants and Browns.
I mean, again, look, I'm going
to
be
the traveling. Browns lost to the Jets today.
Yep. Ooh, nice. Look, I'm going to be traveling 4,000 miles in a week and a half. I'd like to think I have a chance to win, but man, now the Vikings.
We do.
Like the Vikings. Justin Jefferson is going to be good. We definitely need Kamara. We need a Debo.
We need Lattimore and a Debo. Yeah.
We need a Debo.
Lattimore and a Debo. Yep, definitely.
Lattimore and a Debo. Definitely. 100%.
Anybody else got anything more?
So my game changer patch worked. I'm not hungover yet.
You haven't slept yet. That's why.
No, I haven't, but it's early. It's early, but so far, I think it's going to be okay.
So what you're saying was this was a practice run for...
Yes, it was a dry run.
What,
but
how many days? 13 I would definitely, days time.
You got to put it on your wrist. If you got hair on your wrist, I would recommend shaving. It's a square. I would recommend shaving it.
Can you not put it on the middle of your... Can you not put it in the middle of your head? Would that not work? You got no hair there.
I guess I probably... They said to put it on a veiny spot, but I wasn't going to put it on my dick, so...
That's what the Sean Watson said.
Oh, dear. Right. Wesley, anything else?
I've beaten around the bush about it a lot. I ignored it when Ben said earlier because I planned on this. Mark Ingram is the most overrated player in the history of the Saints. Everybody wants to be a big fan of his.
Wow.
Listen, what Mark Ingram has done well as a Saint player is stayed healthy. He got handed the ball enough times to get enough yards, to have a bunch of yards, and to get a bunch of publicity. He was the running back for the greatest passing offense in the history of the league, with the most accurate quarterback in the history of the league. So defenses were defending that. And so if we ran the ball a few times a game, it gave him the opportunity to break some. He had decent hands to where he could catch the ball coming out. He doesn't break tackles. He does not hold on to the damn ball when the game matters. And I didn't say he's the worst player in Saints history. He is the most overrated player in New Orleans Saints history, bar none. And I'm throwing that out there with y'all know how I feel about Manning being overrated and Hebert being overrated. Mark Ingram is the most overrated player in Saints history. He shouldn't have come back. If he hadn't come back, he would have stayed third on the list. He's now number one. He sucks.
10,000 yards.
I hope
now.
This is his last year.
Yeah, so actually that's now going to introduce a section for when we do the big show this week. So anybody listening to this, tweet us with your overrated Saints players and tell us whether you agree with Wesley or not. That'll be an interesting subject as to see what other names.
Well,
come
it's
out
not Aaron Brooks, I'll tell y'all that. So don't even put his name out there.
Yeah, don't you
say it. Everyone overrated Callaway last year.
We didn't even throw it his way. Callaway is basically non-existent.
I might be wearing my Aaron Brooks jersey when we're at the game in a couple of weeks. I may even wear my Aaron Brooks jersey. So, right, is that it from everybody? Or
I'll do one final thing. So
Aaron Brooks color rush?
Speaking of Aaron Brooks, we were talking about this is year 20 of me having tickets in my spot, and I was thinking wow, we got tickets in 2003. So I started in the Aaron Brooks era. We would go to games and we'd get all excited.
He's gone full circle.
Right. And it was Aaron Brooks and Jim Haslett. And we were like, yeah, we got this. And then we don't. And I just hope that's not where we are now. But this is year 20, which means I'm just old. Sorry, I'm old.
Yeah.
Confirm.
Yeah. We all agree. We all agree. Right, that's all the show we have for you this week. So thanks for listening in and downloading. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. DM us for access to the Discord server for game day chat, etc., etc. We'll promote this more on Wednesday night, but obviously in London we have the Saturday night meetup with New Orleans .football and Dome Patrol Podcast at the Ninth Ward in London.
We have confirmed that Mike Triplett, new New Orleans.football employee, will be also attending.
Excellent. So that's Nick, Mike, and Ross Jackson, I believe, are all confirmed attendees. So there you go. That's going to be the party to go to on the Saturday night before the game. And then on the Sunday, we're all going to be at the ultimate tailgate party. Listen out for details for that on the show where we'll record it this week.
And also, if you're trying to log in and get your discount, apparently you have to change the URL from US to UK. Apparently that's a thing.
Yes, you do. But all the details for that will be on the big show.
Yes.
It's only a problem if you're blonde.
Yes. that's a reference only a few people are going to get. Never mind. Right, on to Carolina next Sunday. Hoot out, everyone.
Hoot out.
Bye-bye, defeated donkeys.
And it will be nice to be alone for a week or all too. But I know then I will be right, right back here with you. There's no need for you to say you're sorry. Goodbye, I'm going home. I don't care no more, so don't you worry. Goodbye, I'm going home.